to Spreading the Good Stuff, a podcast for regional women who want to thrive in their work, wellness, family and community. We share stories of triumph, challenge, growth and change in business and in life, and offer helpful insights and advice to empower you to live your best life, however that looks for you.
Welcome back to Spreading the Good Stuff for episode 11 of season 2. We are back together for a recording after Christy and Leonie have been jet setting all around the place and I have been watching back from here, very excited, just loving all of their travel porn, as I called it. I've just been absolutely loving it. So I'm looking forward to hearing about their trips later on in this episode today, but it's lovely to be back together recording. And today, we thought we'd have a chat about some things that have been a bit topical lately and that have come across our paths, as we often do use that as kind of the inspiration for our conversations and things that we think are happening in the world and that are relevant to us and hopefully all of you, and things that you're experiencing in your lives as well. And this one has come up in a couple of different ways. Mia Friedman interviewed Caitlin Moran on her podcast on No Filter. About her new book, Is Life Harder for Men Than Women Right Now? And it got us thinking about this, following on from a conversation we had more recently about how I'd been triggered about, you know, kind of people who might sort of be coming across as men's rights activists. And I was like, hang on a minute, you know, that sort of triggered me. But I think what it's raised for us is this really interesting conversation around, well, where are we in society now? And, you know, how do we have empathy for men while also acknowledging that, you know, they have to kind of step up, put their big boy pants on and get into the world that we live in today? And yes, there's been this adjustment and it is sort of moving towards women more, but it's not like women are all, you know, by and large dancing around just like life's great and we're all thriving. There's still a lot of struggle for women. There's a lot of struggle for men. And I think what it boils down to is that it's hard to be human, you know, and I think I get what, you know, Caitlin's been trying to do with this book title, and it's good for PR to say, you know, is life harder for men? And it gets us all talking about it, which I think is great. But we're going to have a bit of a conversation about this today. And it also ties into, so Leonie and I, I'm not sure if Christy's listened to it, but an interview that came up on The Imperfects with Henny and Pew. I said that before as well. Penny and Hugh. So Hugh is one of the hosts. He's the guy who founded the Resilience Project, and he and his wife had a conversation on the podcast all about how they've learnt to share, or they're, you know, navigating sharing the mental load. And I think it all ties in with this idea that, you know, how are men feeling in the world that we live in today, and how do we have empathy for that, and how hard is it to be a man, but how hard is it to be a woman? And so I wanted to see what you guys thought about this and have a chat about it. And for anyone listening, you know, how does this sit with you? Like, what do you think about what's going on in the world today? Do you think it is hard for men? Do you think it's hard for women? You know, do we need to get this balance back right again? Like, how do you guys sit on this? And is it a case of empathy, not feeling sorry for them? Or, you know, how do we support? Not that I think that it's up to women to, like, look after men either. Men have to do the work themselves. But how can we support everybody to kind of come along on this journey? Because at the end of the day, feminism is just equality, right? So Lee, what do you think about this? What are your thoughts?
Both of those podcast episodes I got so much out of, and I think there were so many parallels between the two. But the interview with Mel Robbins, with her husband around, just the way he's experiencing life and has been for many years now, it was quite confronting and just really eye-opening, because I guess it's just not a conversation that you hear very often. Men don't open up and speak quite so vulnerably as what he did in that episode. And it did make me, I think like you said, Katrina, I shared it with quite a few men in my life as well, and it just made me wonder how common that is, and is that going on for lots of men? And then to feed into that next episode on The Imperfects, again, it just had me, lots probably throwing up lots more questions than answers for me. But for myself, just in the dynamic in our family, being, you know, a mother of three boys and just living in that kind of male-dominated household, and I've always been one who's been really conscious of trying to raise boys with those sorts of qualities that I think we need men to have more of in the world, with empathy and showing them a vulnerable side and having that real emotional literacy. I just love that these conversations are happening. And like you said, I don't think it's not men against women. If we want equality, we need to work together on this. But that being said, I mean, feminism is just such an important thing, and we still have a long way to go. So we have to keep working on that. But I, as much as possible, not to the detriment or not man bashing. That's certainly not a space that we ever want to move into. And I just don't think that that helps the cause at all. If we want men to come along on this journey with us and we want to raise our boys in a different way to what society has in the past, then we have to lead with empathy and we have to bring them along on that journey. So that's probably where I'm at with it. What about you, Chris?
Well, just before you go, Chris, I just wanted to let the listeners know that we talked about another podcast before we came on air, which was the Mel Robbins one, which I didn't mention, but that's the one that Lee's referring to. So Mel Robbins also interviewed her husband on her podcast, and mm-hmm. he shared the five things that men aren't telling you, which was all around, like, you know, how they do feel insecure, they don't love themselves, they have all this pressure to make the money, and it really resonated with all of us because I was like, well, I can just imagine Tim feeling all of those things, you know. So that's what Lee's referring to there, because we actually talked about that before we came on air. And so just to let the listeners know, that's a ripper one as well. And I shared it with lots of my mm-hmm. male friends and Tim, because I was like, oh, just – and for me, that was that real empathy piece for that. It was like, oh, yeah, this is how you – I can understand and empathize. And it's not like supporting men being, you know – patriarchal in any way. It's just to support them to be good humans. So, sorry, go mm-hmm. Chris.
Yeah, and we will definitely share all the show notes for these episodes, because I think that for me, sometimes you see the headline and you see things and you kind of, it might sort of grate on you and you kind of go, oh, that's a bit controversial, or I don't want to go there. But when you actually listen to humans have conversations about this, particularly husband and wives and people we listen to and respect, and they're not doing it just for the headline or the controversy, like, it is a real human issue. It's not something that is being made out of nothing.
So true.
So I feel like, you know, if you're not sure or it doesn't feel right for you, like, to kind of, or know where you sit, I think listening to conversations about it really helps. That's where podcasts are so great. But I think for me, the whole thing is communication, and I think that it's so great that men are saying how they feel, because women are great at saying how they feel most of the time. Usually we're the first to kind of speak up and say, well, this is not right, and, you know, rah, rah, rah. Not always, but a lot of the time we are good at telling people how we feel. Although I loved a little video, I think, that Mel Robbins shared last week about putting the sword down, which I shared with you two. I think it was Mel, wasn't it? Is that right, Katrina, I think?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it was.
I just read that and went, oh, yeah. And I had a conversation with my 19-year-old son, and because we had a bit of a Barney in the Milan airport while we were travelling overseas, which is a story for another day. Because he's like the 19-year-old man who wants to get in and help and, you know, fix everything. And long story short, we had a bit of a baloo and then we made up, but I show him this put the sword down kind of video, and he actually went, oh yeah, like, that's totally me. I said, yeah, well, it's me too, you know, like, so to come to a conversation with your partner about, you know, sharing the mental load, or just how are you feeling, how am I feeling, you've got to go to that conversation without the sword in your hand, which is really hard to do when you're pissed off because the freaking kitchen bench is still freaking dirty no matter what. And it's that kind of, you know, yeah, just kind of approaching it in a really calm, mature way, which is not always easy.
Mm-hmm. I think that's where it starts too, though, is it starts at home, it starts with us. I mean, we can keep blaming the patriarchy, we can keep blaming society, like, we know that there's all these
kitchen benches where it all starts.
There's all these, you know, huge societal problems, but at the end of the day, it's when we all take responsibility and start to show up for ourselves. And what you said there about, like, women have been sharing, you know, we're better at expressing our feelings and that kind of thing. I think also women have been doing the work for longer. Like, we've been, you know, doing the inner work, being more spiritual, trying to understand ourselves, like, in general. This is very, you know, general. And there's lots of men who've been doing it too. But, like, at a society level, I'd say there's more women who have been, you know, more likely to go and see a therapist, more likely to do the work, more likely to kind of talk about things, whereas men are still catching up with that. And it's like, I heard, I think it was on the Mamma Mia thing, they said, you know, like, we've shifted more towards the masculine too in some ways, and now men need to shift more towards the feminine. You know, it's like this sort of rebalancing. Like, we've been doing the work to kind of step up and use our voices and speak more, and now it's like men actually now have to learn to express their feelings more and tap into them, their deeper selves, because when they're not doing the work, it manifests for them in things like abuse or depression or rage or, you know, violence, or, you know, it's sort of manifesting like that for them. And so they've got to do the work too to understand how they fit into this world, you know. And so I think it is that having empathy and understanding where they're at, and then they've got to do the work, and then it starts at home. Like you're saying, Chris, it starts at home with men and women having conversations, understanding each other better, understanding themselves, and then passing that on to the next generation of kids about, and role modelling, this is how we do it, which is happening more and more. But it's that stuff that at home that starts with you, I think, is where it's, you know, and men have just got to do the work as well.
And it's about communication, you know, like I think communicating is so important, but it's how that communication is done. And I loved the way Hugh and Penny, you know, use the cards, and we probably should talk about that. I haven't actually listened to the whole podcast. I just saw it on social media. But Lee, do you want to talk about the cards that they use to kind of broach the conversation, how it took a while to kind of broach it? Because it was, you know, men get prickly and women get prickly too, when you kind of go, well, hang on a minute, I'm doing this and you're doing that. And, you know, interesting.
Yeah.
It's funny, I only listened to it a couple of days ago, probably at the weekend it was, and ever since then I've been ruminating on how and when I can raise this suggestion at home at our place with my husband. I haven't done it yet.
I can raise it with Tim. I just went straight into it. Tim, we're going to do the cards.
How did Tim respond? Tell me.
Can we talk about the cards?
The funny thing is, because I love when Hugh said, you know, when Penny first raised it with him, first of all, it took him 2 years to actually do the cards, but he also felt really offended. He was like, but I'm doing so much. And he said he took it really personally, felt like he was being criticised. And I know, I can totally tell you that that's exactly how Tim has felt whenever I've raised these things with him in the past, because he does heaps. Well, in his mind, he does heaps already. But I'm like, but the mental load and the balance is still not equal, you know. So I thought it was really beautiful to hear Hugh say that. And it was like, it's okay to feel like that, and that's normal, and you've still got to step up. But Tim was good. He's like, okay, here we go. More things, you know. And he goes, oh, and it's great timing too, because we're just coming into harvest. And
like, can we talk about these cards and how
they there's a book that they referred to first that goes into all of this. I can't remember the name of it. You might, Katrina, but we
Fair
will share.
Fair Work? Is it called Fair Work?
Fair Work? Something like that, but we'll Fair share time? That in the notes as well. And then from that, you can do the work just from that as a partnership, or else there's the option to purchase these cards, and the cards pretty much cover every single item, that you could think of that fits into that invisible mental load that more often than not women, in the partnership carry. So for Hugh and Penny, they made a date night out of it in the end, didn't they? And went out for dinner and drinks, and then pull out this deck of cards, and I think it's quite a big one, and not all of it will relate to your life. Not everything will. It depends, you know, if you've got kids or you don't have kids, or what stage of life your kids are at. Because I did also think, as they were chatting, and they've got really young children and babies, for us with our kids, they can be part of that, you know. There's a whole lot of jobs that they're pulling out that the couple are sharing, that for older kids, gosh, they can take on a lot of that load too.
100%.
But then they pretty much just drew a card, and then they talk about what this card is. It might be, you know, the house cleaning. Okay, who's going to take this one on? And then they went through the whole deck of cards, and it was a whole – they listed off every single thing. So it covers your, you know, your life admin stuff, like paying your school fees and organising health insurance, life insurance, all those sorts of things, gift buying for family members, for kids, friends, sports, you know, signing kids up, then just the week-to-week stuff with kids, running around for extracurricular activities, you know, buying groceries, the list goes on and on and on. And then they just divvied it up and tried to do it as fairly as they possibly could. And he certainly said at the end of that, he just had no idea how much went into so many of those different activities and how much thought went behind it. So even something as simple as, you know, for a family that have got really young kids and they're having a day at the beach, you know, he would pretty much just pick up his towel and walk out the door to the car, leaving like her Bandit there
with Bluey.
Yeah, exactly. Like leaving the two or three children for the wife to sort them out, make sure you've been, it's bag loads of stuff, isn't it? Like the food and
I
the
love
stuff.
How in that situation too often, like, you know, the guys will get to the beach and go, oh, did we pack this and did we pack that? Well, actually, no, we didn't pack it. I packed it.
And that's what happens on Bluey, and then the mum turns up an hour later with all the stuff because dad's forgotten everything, and I was like, oh, my God, so true. But what's so good about the cars is that it's like, because, you know, I mean, obviously I've had these conversations with Tim before. I've spoken on the Ducks and the Pond podcast about the mental load and how I had to raise this conversation with him and say, look, the balance has shifted too far. I'm doing too much. I need you to step up and do more. But the beautiful thing about the cars is that it's not then you kind of constantly having to remind them and ask them and, like, you know, like, well, I'm doing the shopping, but you're going to cook two nights a week. It's like, no. You take full responsibility for that entire job, so I don't even have to think about it. And then the trick, though, is, like, then Penny said she couldn't then hassle him about it, though. She just had to wait. You know, like, he's one of his jobs was going to the dentist, but he hadn't done it. She's just like, is this ever going to happen? And she was just, like, waiting. But he did it, you know. And so it's literally that you don't have to think about it at all. I think that is that's the beauty, you know, because even if you kind of sometimes divvy up the jobs and it's still someone having to remind the other person, like, you're still thinking about
you're
it.
You're still the boss. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. You're still the CEO.
And you're nagging.
Yeah, because you talk about the beauty of it being, but also it's the frustration of it too, because, like, some women would have a lot of issue letting go.
That's right.
You know, like, if I had, if Troy was totally in charge of, like, shopping and cooking, I would every day go, oh, what the bloody hell are we going to be having for dinner? And what time will we be eating dinner? That'd be my question. You know, I would be constantly.
Yeah, that's so true. So I would have to letting go of that perfectionism too.
Let go. Because that's half.
Or the control.
I think that's half the problem sometimes with some men is that, like, the women don't allow them to do it. When I was having babies, I had friends who would not let their husband change a nappy. And if they did, they'd be so critical. And I'd be like, no wonder he's not doing it, because you are so hypercritical of everything he's doing. And it's really tricky. So I think we have to look at sometimes why, you know, why some guys don't want to do stuff, because they feel criticized because they're not doing it properly.
They talked about that on the podcast as well, actually, and they said that's a big thing too. And it happens, you know, when they're babies, and, oh, it's just quicker to do it myself. And you do that with kids too. You know, it's like when you're trying to teach kids to do something, oh, I'll just get it for them but in actual fact, you got to let them do it. And it's you as well taking that, oh, step back, don't step in, and it takes that, that absolutely, Christy, that's a huge part of it too, isn't it? Just trusting and letting go.
Because most of the stuff you worry about when the kids are little, particularly, like, you know, who cares if the nappy's not on properly, and who cares if your little four-year-old daughter looks like Bendigo Betty when she goes out for the streets, you know, like, it doesn't matter what clothes she has on, because often as a mum you're like, oh, we've got to be all, like, lined up and perfect, and, you know, like, yeah, we know what I'm talking about. Like, it's
it's so true. Absolutely. Like, you're exactly right. And you're setting yourself up for, like, a lifetime of having to do it then. If you don't set it up early, you know, I mean, I just used to hand Tim the baby and say, right, you bath it, you change the nappy, and I'd just be out of there. Like, and so it set it up from the start, because I was just like, well, I'm not doing all of this. You know, I just, every opportunity I'd. And then he was capable then. Also, you know, I'm sure it's not good for them either, because they are probably in this really vulnerable time when you first have a baby too, where they're feeling really insecure about their capabilities. If you reinforce the fact that you don't think they can do it, well, A, it's not good for their confidence, and B, it's very easy for them to slip into that then, isn't it? And just go, oh, okay, well, I can't do it. You know, we'll reinforce that narrative that I'm incapable.
Exactly.
And so it is a bit of both.
And it was interesting when they were talking about the cards, and once those, you know, you've taken a specific job on and it becomes your responsibility from woe to go, how you then really step into it. And it was interesting to hear Hugh say that he then wanted to do the absolute best job that he could at buying the groceries or whatever his particular job, you know, amongst many, whatever that was, he would do it well because it was his responsibility. Whereas, you know, when you're being asked by a spouse to do something and they're doing it begrudgingly, often it's a half-assed job. And then you do step in and go, well, I may as well have bloody just done it myself.
And I think I think we're guilty of being too rigid in our roles too. Like we're like, okay, well, this is this role and this is my role. And I had the great example of this recently when we're away. Like, we've got three teenage kids and we were traveling recently. You know, you have some challenging times and times where everything goes to plan, other times where things just go to shit. And we had like five pieces of luggage, five people, and all too big. Like we took too much stuff. Like I was embarrassed how big my suitcase was. Like I've got this backpack on wheels and I stuffed it with all this stuff that I thought I needed, but of course I didn't. Anyway, long story short, we had this really small car in Italy because that's kind of what they drive, and we had five pieces of luggage that we just couldn't fit in. We had to take the spare tyre out at the car hire place to fit our luggage in, like to drive around. And long story short, when we were leaving one of the places we'd stayed at, Troy was packing the car and, you know, the kids were there trying to help and, you know, coming in, try this and try that way. And I just said without even thinking, kids, let's just step back and we'll let dad do this because this is definitely a dad's job, right? And all three kids turned around and nearly shot me on the spot and said, Mum, you can't say that. Like they totally gave it to me. And Troy looked at me and I just went, oh, my God, I've created monsters. You know, they're like, and I'm like, no, I don't mean that women can't pack cars. I just said in our family, that's how it works. And anyway, it was just they looked at me with this shock as if like they couldn't believe what I'd said, you know. So it's interesting how we can have these. It's okay to have rigid roles in some situations, but not in others. It's a complete double standard that we kind of create for ourselves. So it was really interesting kind of scenario.
But I think that's all part of this resetting, isn't it? So sorry, you go, Lee.
No, all I was going to say, either way, I just think it's a really valuable exercise to sit down and actually get on paper, whether it's using a stack of cards or doing it yourselves, you know, as a family or as a couple, to actually put down on paper what, like, all of the things that you need to do to kind of run a household and a family, because we step into this when we're young people and we, you know, marry or whatever we end up doing and then we decide to have a family with absolutely no idea what we're getting into. And some days, you know, at the end of a day, you feel completely like brain dead and you wonder why. And it's because you've done all of these things on top of your work and whatever else, but none of it's visible and none of it's recognized or acknowledged. It's just the things that you do. So I feel like it would be really valuable and it would change at different stages of life. And, you know, I've been thinking about it at the weekend. I haven't had time. I don't know when I'll find time to do it, but it would be really interesting exercise to sit down, try and get it all down on paper, because I know there's been many times in our family where, you know, my husband has said, what can I do to help? Where I will just say, I am completely overwhelmed. Yeah. I cannot fit one more thing in my brain. If one more person sends me a message needing something from me, I am going to kill someone. Like that's how it sometimes feels. And you'll just be like, no. Feel pretty close at times. And he'll just say, well, what can I do there? Well, what is it? What's in your head? Like what? And and that makes it even worse because I don't even know where to start to spill the things that are in there.
Yeah.
So I feel like it would be really valuable to write it all down. Not just, you know, for me, but for him as well, because he does a huge amount too, but for us to both then have that level of appreciation of what goes on behind the scenes and why some days over others you are really feeling stretched.
So what would you
guys, and I think this is where it ties in.
Yeah, and I was going to say, like, what would you guys, you know, as part of this conversation, how would you, like, do you think the cards are a good way to do this, Lee? Or, you know, like, I know for Troy and I, we kind of have a weekly kind of chat about, you know, what's happening and whatever, but we certainly don't go into the detail that those cards.
The weekly chat does not touch on the invisible mental load. It doesn't. It's still, like, even you can have the most helpful partner in the world, but if you're carrying all of the planning, the logistics, the organising, the actual, you know, doing the job, I feel like is the easy part.
Yes.
100%.
It's carrying the load.
Yeah. And I think, yes, definitely the cards are the way to go. And I think it's like having to take full responsibility for that job and you're taking it off them completely. And I think for me, this is, again, ties into this broader conversation, because if you're then setting this up in your household, you're taking responsibility, you're modelling it for the kids, you're doing it for yourselves, you're allowing the woman to, you know, have more headspace to pursue the things that she wants to do in the world as well, because we know that having all this mental load holds us back from doing what we really want, because we're all so busy and overwhelmed that we don't actually know what even lights us up or brings us joy, or, you know, have the headspace to think about what we really want. And it allows men to feel more empowered and to reset the balance for them. And so it gets them out of this kind of patriarchal mindset of like the woman does everything and I get to do whatever I want. Like, it's sort of resetting the balance of that. Because I think that's a lot of the problems. We're still in these gendered roles a lot of the time in our households. And I think that's adding to this broader societal problem, and we've all got to work on this stuff together. So I think that for me is where it ties into this broader conversation around, you know, it's not that we need to feel sorry for men. It's not that we need to feel sorry for women really anymore either. It's just that we all need to work together to collectively change the way the system and the society works and the patriarchy and how it's, you know, modelling these things to us that aren't really supporting us all as human beings. And we're all humans and we've got to show up and do all this work. And I think whatever that takes, the cards, I think, is a really great way to start it in the household. Because at the end of the day, even in, you know, households like ours where it is very balanced, really, in so many ways. Like, Tim is really good comparatively. Unfortunately, still, there's a lot of men who don't do much at all. But it's still not anywhere near the mental load of what I carry. And, you know, I think, yeah, it's so complex and layered, isn't it, all of this stuff?
You know, and I think it almost is helpful to take a bit of an approach of looking at it like you're running a small business type thing. You know, if you're looking at running a small business, everyone has their roles and is very clear on what they are and knows what's got to be done and when it's got to be done, and everyone can then plan their own life accordingly. In a family, there is so much to be done, yet we kind of just week by week just do it. And then what I think happens, and like yours, describing there, Katrina, with your family and being really balanced, and I think all of us are really lucky in that sense. Even still, in that situation, I would say it's hard to find time to do the things for yourself, and particularly maybe using Craig as an example, because he's doing stuff all the time helping as well. He then doesn't have time to go and do things that light him up, because he's knowing that he's needed. You know, there's a lot to be done at the weekend. He doesn't always know exactly what that's going to be, but then I'll be saying, right, we've got to do this, we've got to do that. And then there goes his whole weekend too. Whereas I think if, you know, by using these cards and really assigning responsibility to some of these roles, everyone can plan their own kind of life and time around it. So you can free up some space to do the things that make you feel good. And that's so important for men and for women.
Exactly. Yeah. So do you think that does tie in? I mean, going back to that, because I totally agree with what you're saying there about the men are kind of don't have time to do what they want to do. And the good men, you know, the men who are stepping up and like we're all working so hard just to manage a household in so many ways. And that conversation that Mel had with her husband, like that really hit for me. Like, I think it was just very, I mean, we sort of have a sense of it, but to hear him explain how hard and how many men come to him and just say, I don't love myself, I can't look myself in the mirror and say I'm doing a good job, I don't feel like I'm doing a good job, I feel this massive pressure to make money for my family, you know, I don't feel good about myself, all of these things, like that
I
is
I put myself last.
Yeah. I put myself last. All the things that we talk
that
about
women
as
say,
women,
absolutely.
The men are also doing it. And so obviously that's why, you know, you've got these men that are feeling lost in the world now. They don't know their place. It is a resetting for them as well, and fitting in with this new normal. Do you think that's part of it?
That was really shocking to hear that bit, actually, for them to say, oh, I put everyone else in the family first and I'm last. And I thought, well, pretty much any woman you would speak to would say the same thing. So what are we doing wrong here if we're all putting ourselves last? Who's coming first?
Yeah, exactly.
I think a big part of this too is all of us putting our physical and mental health higher up on our priorities, like, as well. Like, I feel like there's so many, you know, I think women are really good at going, I'm going to lose weight and get fit and get, you know, mentally fit or whatever. And so they do all these great things. They don't always bring their husband or partner with them. And I think that's something where we can be better at going, okay, well, rather than, you know, because I think you and you both would do this too. You look at the week and go, right, on Monday I'll go to the gym and on Wednesday I'll do yoga and on Friday I'll do this. And I just sort of leave Troy to do his thing. But I just said to him yesterday, like, he's loving golf and doing golf. And that's excellent because we've got the sort of space in our life now with older kids where we can do those things. But I'm like, we're not doing any weights. We're not doing any cardio. Like, we need to look after our physical health, because it's important for our future. And so I'm like, we need to do this together. And I think that also you get motivation from each other as well. And, you know, whether you have, you don't have to do the exercise itself together, but actually do the planning together, because then it becomes important for both of us, where sometimes women get to this age and they get resentful, like, I've had no time for myself for 40 years or whatever. And they go, right, I'm going to do all this stuff. And you see it, and you see them getting fit and amazing. And you don't really, and you don't see the bloke perhaps, you know, doing it as well, because he doesn't feel empowered or invited, or, you know, like part of the I don't know. You know what I mean? Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes, I've got two thoughts on that. One is, yes, I think it's great to bring them along. Two, also, mate, come on, do the work. It's not up to us to. I mean, so it's both. I think, again, you don't have to sit in one or the other. And I actually loved that Claire talked about this on the Mamma Mia thing. There's so much duality in this. Like, we can have both feelings. We can support our husbands and they can support themselves. We can feel like empathy for them and we can think that they need to put their big boy pants on. Like, it's not one or the other. It's not like, oh, it's worse for men or it's worse for women. Again, no. It's just this whole, like, we're all human. We've all got to do the work. We can feel both things at once.
I also feel like the health and wellbeing, like, industry is totally geared towards women, though. Like, it is totally geared towards, like, women's vulnerability and getting fit and, you know, looking after ourselves, whereas I don't think it is geared to the men as much. I really don't. And you're right, they should just get off their ass and do it as well. But I feel like, you know, at the same time, everyone needs a bit of emotional and you know, mental support to sort of get there. So I just think
we can show leadership, we can show guidance and support.
And also care. Like, for me to go, oh, well, so to say to Troy, well, when are you making the time to go for a run or a walk or whatever? Yeah. You know, just that I don't have to organise it for him, but just to kind of go, well, when are you doing that?
A bit of a nudge.
So it's having that conversation about, because if I'm just doing it for myself, it is a bit selfish, really, without thinking about the rest of the family. It's like me eating well and not, you know, giving healthy food to my children. You know what I mean?
No, I agree, because it does take time out. You've got to work on it as a whole family about when you're going to fit your things in, for sure. It does make a big difference. Again, it's that sharing of the mental load, sharing of the jobs, creating space and time for each other and allowing each other to have that time. Definitely, I agree.
I've often wondered over the years, and I'd be interested in your thoughts, girls, too, about, and you were saying before, Katrina, how as women we tend to, I guess generalising, but that we do tend to do more work in the, you know, self-discovery, self-growth kind of space, and that, you know, you look at women and you do see along the way a lot of women reinventing themselves, women who come to these crossroads and junctures in their lives, and then they make big changes. And I've often wondered, is that part and parcel with parenting? And when, you know, for us, we might start off with in a career and then we stop and have a little bit of a break because we need to when we're having babies. It's not always the case, but more often than not, it's the woman that stays at home. And you have that time where you're home with your kids where you do have, even though it's relentless, there's a lot of time in your own head where you have time to reassess and is this where I want to be? Am I happy doing this? And I feel like women throughout their lives, we have lots of periods where we have those moments, those junctures where we then stop and reassess and look and decide, is this where we want to be? Whereas I just wonder, looking at our own life as an example, if men have that same opportunity, because they pretty much come out of school either to uni or into work or whatever, and then it is an expectation, right or wrong, that the man will he stays in that workforce till he retires. And they don't have those same moments, sort of clear moments, lines in the sand, where they can stop and look at their life and decide if they're happy and doing what they want and making time for those things. I'm just curious to know what you think about that.
Well, I think they do have it sometimes, but it's often, like, you know, manifests as a midlife crisis, doesn't it?
Yeah, breakdown.
Oh, yes, exactly.
I was having a conversation with my brother-in-law while we were away, and he was talking about how he really wanted to do meditation, but he can't, like, find the right way. And you know, to have a conversation, you know, with a, you know, a, I suppose, an older guy about that, and he was like, you know, does Troy do it? And I'm like, yeah, he does. And, you know, I feel like men want to actually improve and enhance their lives, but often they just don't know how, or they haven't got the right tools, or, and again, like, meditation mostly geared towards women, you know, like, I mean, I know I'm generalizing here, and then there are some amazing apps out there that, you know, aren't sort of as feminine, but, you know, I just feel like, and yes, there's golf and there's, like, the pub and there's, you know, other stuff, but I feel like there's so much more That man, like, yoga's a great example. Like, I was talking to a guy about yoga on the weekend, and he's like, oh, you should do a blokes class, because most blokes aren't going to walk into a yoga class that are full of women, you know, but yoga is as beneficial for men as it is for women, like that, you know, if not more, you know, as far as just stretching and the way their bodies are built. So I just feel like, I'm not saying we have to do it for them, but I feel like, you know, a lot of things aren't kind of geared towards men because women are the ones who drive this space. I think that's inevitable. Well, like that's,
I think funnily enough, it used to be only men that were allowed to meditate and do yoga anciently. Like, you know, the women weren't even allowed to do it, which is funny.
That's
but,
so true.
I think we've reset that. But I think it's cultural. I think it's been normalised for women to do the work, to do yoga, to work on their mental health, to do personal development. And we see other women doing it. There's plenty of examples of it. Like, we all just culturally, it's more accepted. Whereas we're going through a phase where it hasn't traditionally been that men have that, do that stuff, you know. And so I think it's a resetting, you know.
But just, is it because of how society's set up and that structure, you know, with women?
Yes,
home?
For sure. Yeah, for sure. But there was, I mean, women haven't always done this. I mean, it's only a new thing for women to do the work and do yoga and, like, you know, yoga's only been.
Yeah, but more about the resetting, I think, more about questioning your life and, you know, just, I wonder if that's happened over the years during those years when you're at home with your kids.
Yeah, yes, I guess we have more of those junctures where we have the space and, like, we stop and there's that, you know, moments in our sort of trajectory where we, yeah, for sure. I mean, I absolutely think that that would definitely play a role in it, and men don't have that opportunity as much, and there is more of a societal norm, as you say, to just keep working, keep doing the things, just keep, you know, yeah, for sure. So I think it's cultural, and
that's
I
think those, you know, we're talking before about those sort of weekly kind of check-ins too, Lee. That's where I think they're really powerful to go, okay, well, that's great that you're ticking all your boxes, but what are you doing for your mental health this week? And, you know.
Yeah. For fun. Know,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Fun, what's totally bringing you joy? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So whereas I think that's something that men probably aren't great at, you know, they're not great at kind of recognising those things they should do. So, but also women too, like, because, you know, sometimes it's hard to fit it in and we feel selfish when we take too much time for ourselves and, you know, so it's a two-way communication.
Yeah. And I think at the end of the day, happier men results in happier women. We're all happier if we're all happy, you know, like, so maybe we're slightly more ahead on this stuff now. So we've got an opportunity to sow seeds and show leadership and invite the men along on this journey as well and support them in that rather than, you know, being it like an us and them thing. It's just, you know, okay, cool. We're a little bit further along the line in general. So how can we support you guys to do this too? Because, yeah, the happier the men in our lives are, it's better. Like we say, it's better for everyone. If you feel good about yourself, it's better for everyone around you. You know, it's the same. So I think you're absolutely right, Chris. We've got to be supporting them as well. And it doesn't mean we're kind of, you know, saying that it's hard for them and feel sorry for them. It's more just like let's empower each other to just all feel good, you know. So
it'd be really great too. To hear from our listeners about how they approach this sort of, you know, scenario, if it's come up or if it's something they've been thinking about. So we'd love you to share. And we've had lots of great feedback too. We must mention that, ladies, before the end of this chat about the beautiful feedback we receive from our listeners. It's so great because I was only saying to someone on the weekend when they were saying how, you know, when the podcast dropped, it drops every fortnight, they just love, you know, tuning in and, you know, we would do it just for ourselves. We've said that on more than one occasion, but it's really great that people are tuning in and are kind of, you know, tapping into the conversations that we're having and finding them helpful and interesting.
Maybe one of us should put our hands up to be a guinea pig and actually do the cards.
Oh, I'll do them. I'm busting to do them. Don't you worry.
And then report back.
So does that mean like is it going to take 2 years? I mean, that sounds like if it took you 2 years from the Imperfect Centre, I'm thinking it's going to take us.
Well, do you know what, though? I think you're right, Lee. I'm going to get the kids on board as well because why should Tim and I just take on all the jobs now? The kids are 13, 12. You know, they're old enough and, you know, and I have been trying to get them. I mean, we make them help. Like, they definitely help, but there's no assigned jobs as such. I think this could be a really good way of saying, righto, you are responsible for this job. So, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, I think it's a good time to move on to what we've been loving or, like, what's what's bringing us joy. And I am hoping that you two might share about your trips a little bit because I really want to hear about those. Lee, do you want to go first?
Okay, so what's bringing me joy? Well, still the basking in the post-holiday glow. We had 2.5 beautiful weeks in Vietnam over the school holidays, which has been a long time coming. It was booked for the year before, but kids' passports didn't come in time, so we really had a good whack of time to plan and look forward to this adventure, which was what we were really hoping it would be, not just laying on a beach for 2 weeks, which tends to be our family holidays, which we love, having family that live up on the sunny coast. But yeah, this was a real adventure. It was one of those experiences where every single corner that you turned around, every step that you climbed down or climbed up, it was just delight around every corner. There was just something new, something so delightful. And it just, yeah, has brought a lot of happiness to all of us. The kids said it was just their favourite thing that they've ever done. Met so many beautiful people. We had lovely, lovely local guides over there in Vietnam, and they are just, they're so amazing. And interestingly, in just having conversations with them about their lives and their culture, and, you know, they live these most simple lives in their little villages where they pretty much just are self-sufficient. They grow their rice. They build each other's homes with the neighbours. They just don't really have money, but they have what they need, and they are so happy. They don't have mental health problems. When we talked about those sorts of things, they just didn't know what we were talking about. They're happy.
And see, itself is just like that says it all, doesn't it?
I know. And it was just so good for our kids to see. It was so good for us to see. And that's why travel's so bloody amazing. And look, I know it's not, it's not attainable to everybody. It's a huge cost, this sort of thing, to go away and do this as a family. But honestly, it will be our priority. I would take this and save up for something like this over anything else. All those other extras and those other trappings in life just do not interest me. But to be able to go away as a family and have those kinds of experiences where you come home just feeling so bloody grateful for everything that you have and the opportunities that you have, and just to see the way other people live their lives and what is really important. You come home to this, you know, Western culture and society, and you feel, I don't know, you just wonder, we're just doing something wrong. And I think a big part of the conversations that we have here at Spreading the Good Stuff is all about that. It's about helping us see that and look at ways that we can make changes to live that good life and to value what's most important and to celebrate that and to, yeah, then try and spread more of that good stuff in the world. So get full cup here, full hearts, and looking forward to planning some new adventure, whatever that may be. What about you, Chris? Ooh. I'm sure you can share those sentiments.
And like, you know, there's that saying that you should always be planning the next holiday while you're on the holiday. But we were the same. This was our third attempt to try and go to Italy. And we, Troy and I, travelled to Italy 25 years ago as backpackers, so it was really special to go back this time with just a little bit more kind of, you know, financial kind of capacity to, you know, eat out more than once and go to the places that, you know, backpackers usually can't afford to go. And we took the kids, we took the three kids who are, you know, two of them are almost adults now, and we thought it's kind of now or never. And again, like, just, yeah, to see the kind of the things in Italy that you know, the people kind of see as important. They live a pretty simple life, a lot of the people there. And it comes down to food and family.
Food
was amazing.
So
and
good.
I think for us, we've always prioritised travel. I mean, when we have been able to. And I think travel does... Like, saying it changes people is probably, you know, could be a bit of a stretch, but for me, it changes the way our kids view the world and the way we view the world, and that's probably why we do it, because sometimes you need perspective. You certainly need to kind of see the world to appreciate what you have. You shouldn't have to, but you do, because you get so used to what you're in, and you might not take it you do take it for granted. And I agree, Lee, with that question about living. We spent some time with Troy's sister and her family who live overseas, so we don't see them that often. And we were talking about sort of standard of living, and my brother-in-law was talking about how a lot of younger people that he works with who have capacity, because they sort of live in that expat world, like, you know, like, money isn't an issue for a lot of people in that expat world. But he said they're really changing the way they approach, and they don't need more, you know, like Whereas he said, like, our generation was like, let's work super hard and earn lots of money and you know, have all the stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. And they're going, they're actually questioning, like, do we need the stuff? And for the first time, he's kind of going, well, actually, maybe they're onto something here, because really it's not working for us, like, as a society, you know, like the more. And it's easy to say that because obviously you need money to travel, as you said, Lee. It's not cheap. But I just think that it's not just the travel, it's all the other stuff. Like, how many things do you need, and how much, like, clothes and furniture and stuff that you just don't need? Like, it is all just stuff, you know. And so I think that we are slowly moving towards a society, hopefully, that is perhaps not putting as much value on like success, financial success, and climbing up the ladder, because then you get to the top of the ladder, the view isn't always what was promised. And that's something that I thought a lot about when we were traveling, because it is a catch 22, because, you know, you do need money to travel. But I just think, you know, for us, we'd happily give up a lot of other things to travel. And it was really cool, really feeling really grateful, and already planning the next trip. But so good. Cut foolish.
So that really brings to mind, I listened to this awesome Sarah Wilson podcast interview with Pico, I can't remember his last name. Yeah. It was all about the spirituality of travel. And, like, what you guys were saying is so spot on there. And, like, I completely agree that I would rather prioritize travel over everything else, even though it's really hard to let go of all the other stuff too. I mean, I just think you get so much from travel, and I highly recommend this interview on Sarah Wilson's podcast. You would absolutely
I listened to that on the aeroplane. It was beautiful.
How beautiful was it?
I downloaded it before I left, yeah.
You know, and then, because, of course, Sarah's a climate change activist, but she's flying over the world. But she says she does the one flight, but then when she's there, she catches trains and she bikes and she doesn't have a car. And this Pico, like, he lives in Japan and they don't own a bike. They don't own a car. They live very minimally. They only travel with, like, 7 kilos. Like, you can travel cheaply if you want to.
Absolutely. I mean,
you know, like, especially in Europe and stuff like that, because you can train travel everywhere, and you can – the food anywhere is amazing.
Yeah.
You go to Asia and you're on the street for,
even,
like,
and even just kind of looking for places like – one street back from the high street or wherever one was, like, you know, the food and wine particularly was really, really cheap. And also, like, even for us, we travel by train. I wish I only had 7 kilos. That's my goal next time I travel.
But
we stayed in hostels, like, with our family of five, and we stayed in some amazing places when there was more room. But in the cities, we stayed in hostels, like, in, you know, 5 bunk hostels with shared bathroom and real hostel vibe. And it was so great. It was the best experience. So, you know, you don't have to stay in, you know, fancy accommodation, and because it's just a bed, you know, no matter where you are in the world, it's just a bed. And we loved that. It was hard at times. Like, I literally couldn't find that much space, like, tiny square to do yoga, you know, like, which I wanted to do as much as I could. But space is definitely something that we don't fully appreciate here in Australia, I think. So, it was great. And there are ways you can do it a little bit more mindfully, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, I saw this great quote the other day. It was, travel, your money will come back to you, your time will not.
Yeah,
like, that is true. I love that. So true, you know.
Absolutely.
Like, oh, we're definitely all on the travel bandwagon.
What are you loving?
What I'm loving is, okay, well, a couple of things. First, I was going to recommend actually a book that I'm reading. You guys have probably already read it. I'm a little bit late to the party, but it's called Lessons in Chemistry.
Oh, I know, but I've heard about it. Yeah.
I read that on holidays too.
Oh, you're on fire. So, okay, so I'm like halfway through it. I absolutely love it. It's just bringing me a lot of joy. I'm just also just – I'm really loving doing our Airbnb. So we've got the lost and found set up on the farm. I'm absolutely loving it. It's going well. It's bringing me a lot of joy. It's so much fun. Like, I love – it's kind of nerve-wracking because people coming and, like, being, you know, you've set this thing up and you put so much into it and, like – it's very nerve-wracking, but I'm absolutely loving it, and I'm just really getting a lot of joy. I feel like I've been on the last 6 months, I don't know, probably even since we got back from our big trip, you know, just like Meg and I kind of talk about, often you're on like the grind and you're kind of pushing up the hill and you're pushing and you're in kind of like you're doing the work and it feels really hard, and then you get to the top and you sort of coast for a bit, and I feel like I'm at the top and I'm kind of just in that everything's coming together. It's just feeling a bit easier. It's a bit of pressure off. I don't know. So I'm just really enjoying that. And
nice.
Yeah, lots of fun things like that are happening at the moment. It feels good. So just going to enjoy that. Also, maybe it's because, you know, we're past the shortest day and there's some more sunny days.
Like, I feel that like helps.
Very responsive to the weather.
Yeah, so. The sun's been amazing. Yeah, this last week, the winter sun's been amazing, so hasn't nice. It?
Yeah, as has the so minus 2 degree temperatures in the morning when you're out exercising. So great.
Yeah, that's a bit rough, but sunny days are great. Yeah. Oh, well, it's been such a lovely chat. I'm just loving being back. Like, I, you know, same as you, Chris, love these conversations so much, and I get lots of lovely feedback, and it's just such a joy to get to speak with both of you regularly. It's just awesome, and I hope that you guys have enjoyed this episode. Let us know if you, you know, are the one bearing all the mental load in your house, if you're going to try the cards, what you think about, yeah, where we're at with men and women and, you know, all that stuff that we talked about today. We'd love to hear from you, and send us any messages or comments or thoughts, because it's juicy stuff. So thanks, guys. Thank you so much for this chat. I absolutely loved it. Thank you.
Thanks, girls.
Bye, guys. Chat again soon.
Bye.
Chat soon.
See ya. Thank you so much for joining us for another episode of Spreading the Good Stuff. It is so lovely to have your company here. If you enjoyed the show, we would absolutely love it if you, you know, hit the little arrow at the top of the podcast iTunes page there, or like it on Spotify, and also give us a rating. 5 would be fabulous. If it's not a 5 for you, then maybe just don't bother. That's okay. But if it is, we would love for you to help us spread the good stuff more by supporting us, and also tell your friends about it. We all know that word of mouth is the best way to learn about new things. Maybe share it on your socials, do a little screenshot of the podcast tile, whatever works for you. But we would just absolutely love it if you would help us spread the good stuff. Thanks, guys.